Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth Time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior, and what a joy that is for me to do. I never tire of that, friend. I really, really don't. I tell you that from time to time. But the reality of it is, I do not tire of that. What a great privilege it is to be able to introduce this program to you, friend, in the name of Christ, who came to seek and to save that which is lost. So that means if you aren't saved, you can be. And if you aren't saved, He wants you to be. And if you aren't saved, friend, that's why He came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now listen, that's good news. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. All I'm trying to do is be the best that I can be. I miss that mark, but I still strive for it. I really, really strive for it. I want to be, I want to grow, I want to become. But I'll tell you what, you'll not hear a better message than that, than the fact that this old preacher tells you that Jesus loved you enough, friend, to leave the portals of glory, enter into the stream of humanity, live sinless among us, die substitutionally for us, was buried and came out from among the dead on the third appointed morning. So sinners like you and I can be saved. Hey, that's a good message, is it not? Well, I've opened my Bible to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, right after the book of 2 Timothy, right before the book of Philemon or Philemon, either way you want to pronounce it. And I'm going to begin with verse 11, read down through and the remainder of the chapter and share with you the message that God has laid on my heart. Listen, friend, it's a phenomenal passage of Scripture. This old preacher will never do it justice. I'll just simply scrape a little bit of the cream off the top of it. But I trust our time together will be an investment. That's the intention. Well, Deb's got a song tuned up, queued up, ready to go. The title of it is Saved by His Grace. We'll be talking a lot about grace in this message from second chapter of Titus, chapter 2.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I'd believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace. That's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace.
Well, I like that thing. tell you the truth, friend. That's the only way you can be saved. We're saved by grace through faith. That is it. God Almighty supplies the grace and we supply the faith. We're saved by grace through faith, friend. Now listen, that's what Ephesians says clearly, without a doubt, emphatically. I'll tell you what. That's the only way the man can ever be saved, whether it's the Old Testament or New Testament, whether it's past, present, or future. It's all by the grace of God. In the book of Titus chapter 2, the Word of God says this in beginning of verse 11 and following. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all mankind, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I'm going to talk to you today a little while about this thing called grace. I'm going to talk to you about the working of grace. The working of grace. Man, I'll tell you what, friend. I'm glad to be in this dispensation of grace, are you not? I'm glad to be in this church age where God has manifested His grace in a way in this dispensation that He's never manifested it before. Oh, I know in the book of Genesis we read without a doubt. I'll even take it back farther than that when I give you this passage and make reference to this reference, I believe there was a man in a time when much like our world today, when the imagination of man's heart was evil continually, that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. His name was Noah, but thank God for that. But God displayed his grace even in the beginning when he brought to Adam and Eve, after that they had rebelled, after that they had transgressed, after that they hid themselves and sewed fig leaves together to try to hide their nakedness, God brought to them, gifted them with coats of skin. Listen, friend, the grace of God has always been active. The grace of God has always been available. And I'll tell you what, regardless of the dispensation, regardless of where it's in the time of innocence, law or grace that it is today, or the kingdom age that is to come, mankind, listen, can only be saved by the grace of Almighty God. Now, as we look at this passage, somebody said, listen, that it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest passage of Scripture there is in the Word of God. You say, wow. Well, look what he says in verses 11, 12, and 13. He introduces us to grace, the working of grace, the past work that it has done in verse 11 when he said the grace of God hath appeared unto all mankind. In verse 12, it's the present work teaching us now, daily, continually, emphatically, clearly, listen loudly, powerfully, authoritatively. It's teaching us today what we ought to be, how we ought to be in this present world. But it goes on to say, look, grace points you toward the future. It's got a past work. Something happened in Christ at Calvary. It's got a present work. Something is happening in our hearts here today. But he said, oh, look, all of that is preparatory for that which is going to come. Listen, when Jesus returns, that same one who the apostles saw on that hill in Galilee, received up into heaven, bless God, as they were standing there gazing and heard the two angels speak, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing to the heaven? I like this phrase, this same Jesus shall return in like manner. I'm telling you, friend, listen, the working of grace is a mighty working, and it goes on to tell us, listen, what my job is, what Titus's job is, what every man's job is in verse 15, how that we are to preach and why we are to preach. And we're going to look at what Jesus did in verse 14. Now, I got a lot to cover, a little time to do it in. And believe me, when I get done today with these few minutes of time looking at this great passage of Scripture, I'll leave more unsaid and untouched than what I will touch. But listen to what he said, the grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared to all mankind. I'm glad Paul told, who was it, the church at Colossae, that the thing that Jesus did was not done in a corner. I'll tell you, if I read my Bible right, I can see Jesus was crucified at a place called Calvary. And I believe Calvary was just outside of the north wall of the gates of the city of Jerusalem, outside the Damascus gate, and it was beside a place where two roads met. Hey, friend, I'll tell you what Jesus did in becoming the sinner's substitute wasn't done in secret. It wasn't done, bless God, under the cover of darkness. But Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, I'm glad to know that the grace of God hath appeared unto all mankind. I like that, don't you? Listen, the Word of God tells us in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 17. It's actually the Gospel according to John. He said this. He said that in verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He had told them in John, in his writing here in the introduction to his Gospel in verse 14, and you all know it. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You say, what is grace, preacher? How well, grace, listen, is Christ personified. Oh, it's the love of God in action. For John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Here's the phrase I want to emphasize, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the personification of grace. It is the love of God put in action. God can never love anybody into heaven or let them into heaven just because He loves them. You say, why? Because He's holy, because He's just, because He's righteous. But oh, can I tell you, friend, He found a way. Thank God to take care of all of those things. He found a way, friend, to provide redemption for me and you so that we could be declared right in the sight of God. Oh, aren't you glad for the work that Jesus did at Calvary in redeeming me and you, in finding us in the slave market of sin and purchasing us at a great price. In fact, it was the price of His life. It was the price of His blood. And He purchased us, bless God, with that to ensure us that we'd never go back to that life again. Oh, thank God for the past working of grace that was manifest to all mankind. Listen to what he said in Titus 2:11. For the grace of God hath appeared unto all mankind, not just a few. But wait just a minute. Its work didn't stop there. Grace continues to work today. And it says, teaching us. You know who the us is here, friend? It's me and you. It's got something to say to me and you. Hey, listen, friend. It's saving grace. Do you hear me? I mean to tell you, it's sovereign grace. It is sufficient grace. But oh, I want you to know something. It's also grace that teaches us that we're to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, yea, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hey, listen, friend, you're believing a lie if you think that you can profess Christ and walk down an aisle and sign a card or shake the hand with a preacher. And I'm not against shaking hands with the preacher. I've asked people to do that to me if they want to express their excuse me, need of prayer. They want to express their desire to have the people of God to pray for them. And oh, let me tell you something, sir, ma'am. If you get right with God, there'll be a change in your life. Just like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Do you know what you do when you get saved? I bless God, you'll deny ungodliness. You say, what's ungodliness, preacher? Anything that's not like God, and God is holy. Do you hear me? There is no darkness in Him at all. Not even one little speck. Hey, bless God, He's holy. He's sinless. He's perfect. He's pure. Hey, friend, listen. There's a lot of things going on in the name of Christianity by people who claim to be Christian, that we'd have to wonder if they're really saved. I'll tell you what, friend, listen. If you get saved, you begin to live right. You begin to think right. I mean to tell you, begin to do right. That's what He means when He says, and it's in a very simple form that I'm saying this, when He said you ought to live godly, soberly, and righteously in this present world, in the here and the now. Friend, that's how we're to live. Hey, we're in this world, but we're not part of this world. I want you to know, friend, listen, that we are to come out from among it. We're not to touch that which is unclean. We who were such things, He said in the book of 1 Corinthians 6, in the book of 2 Corinthians 6, we who were these things. And you say, what were those things that we, what are those things that we were? Well, I wasn't going to read them, but I'm going to have to turn there and do it. We were, listen, friend, we were these kind of things. We were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves and covetous, drunkards and revilers, extortioners. And He said, such were some of you. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you name the name of Jesus and you're still a drunkard, if you still do dope, if you still as a habit and a practice and a behavior of life, you participate in the things of the world, the things that ungodly people do. Now, I'm not talking about what they eat and where they go as far as legitimate legal places to go that aren't sinful. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those things, bless God, that come from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. I'm bless God to get that which is not lawful to get. Oh, friend, listen. We need to be real about this thing. He said we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust while we're to live soberly and righteously and godly. You know who that referring to soberly has to do with you, sir, yourself. Righteously has to do in relationship to men and mankind around us. And godly has to do with our right relationship with God. We ought to live holy, above reproach. We ought to live like Christ, exactly like Him. That's what being a Christian is. If you call yourself a Christian, that means you're proclaiming that you're a little Christ, that you want to be like the Christ. And oh, if you read the Word of God, I'll tell you what, you'll find out that these three things in 2 Corinthians 5, in the book of 1 Peter 2, in the book of 1 John 3, you'll find that He knew no sin, He did no sin, and He had no sin. Oh, thank God, that's the way you and I ought to be. The grace of God hath appeared. I bless God to provide a way and means for all mankind to be saved. That holy God, that omniscient God, that all-powerful God, that omnipresent God. You know what He did? Bless God, listen. He can overwhelm His opposition, but instead of pouring out His wrath on mankind, He poured out His grace and opened the door and said, whosoever will, let him come. But He said, those who will, there to live holy and godly and righteously in this present world. And he said, now look, let me tell you something that'll help. I'm looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, John says this in the third chapter, the first letter that has his name, how that if we have this hope of Jesus returning again, we'll live a pure life. We'll live a separated life. We'll live a sanctified life. We'll live a life, friend, how that'll honor God, that'll bring glory to God, that'll sure blessings from God in our life. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, we ought to be looking for Jesus and not listen for Him to come tomorrow, but today. Oh, if we can't pray the prayer that John did in Revelation 22 when he said, even so come, Lord Jesus, there just might be a problem in our life. So the grace of God worked in the past, works in the present, and it works for us in the future. He said, listen, we're looking for that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, watch this, who gave Himself for us. Isn't that amazing? That's God's gift. That's the Son of God's gift to us. But He said this, that He might redeem us. Now watch this phrase, from all iniquity. I know that's not popular preaching, but we're to be pure. That's what He said. From all iniquity and purifying to Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And Paul told Titus, hey, teach these things. Preach these things. He said, let no man despise thee. And he says, do it with all authority. Hey, listen, friend, I don't come in my own name, don't come in my own power, but I come in the authority of Jesus Christ, in the authority of the Word of God. I'll tell you what Jesus did. He didn't die to so that we could continue in our sin. He died to deliver us from our sin, from its penalty, from its power, and one day by the grace of God from its presence. He said that we're to turn to God, and that means we'll turn from the world. He's purchased us. He possesses us. We are a peculiar people, meaning that we are a prized possession of Jesus Christ. He has ownership of us. I mean to tell you, Paul said, you're not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is the Lord. Hey, we're to be peculiar people, not strange, not crazy, but we're to act like we belong to someone else. Hey, listen, friend, we're to be zealous of good works as we continually work to purify ourselves daily, to separate ourselves from the world and worldly things. When Jesus was praying His high priestly prayer in John 17. He said, I believe it is, I'm not looking in verse 11. He said, they're in the world. But in verse 14, He said, I believe, but they're not of the world. Thank God. I'll tell you, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Thank God. Listen, the most amazing fact that man could ever consider is the fact that Jesus gave Himself for sinners, the unworthy. Hey, friend, the unloving and the unlovable. But God loved us. He loved us with an unquenchable love, an eternal love, an unstoppable love. And He loved us so much that He gave the best that He had. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, hey, listen, you need to be saved. And I believe you want to be, or you wouldn't be listening to this old country preacher. I'll tell you what, the grace of God has appeared unto all mankind. I don't preach a limited atonement. I don't preach, bless God, that God has chosen some for heaven and some for hell. I believe in a whosoever will gospel. I believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that it's by grace, through faith. But let me tell you something, sir, ma'am, in verse 10 of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, after he tells us we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, it is the gift of God. He tells us, this matches what he said here in Titus, but we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. No works can ever save a man. No works will ever keep a man saved. But works will prove that someone is saved. And I'm telling you, if you're saved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it all the way out to the end. Hey, just get at it. Stay at it. Jesus is coming. Are you ready, sir? Are you ready, ma'am? Are you looking for Him? Are you learning about Him? Are you longing for His coming? Are you listening for the sound of the trumpet? Oh, sinner friend, I'll tell you, if you've never met Christ as your Savior, go to Him now. I fall before Him with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I believe Christ died for me when He died at Calvary, and I put my trust and faith in Him now. Go to Him, sinner friend. Run to Him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's just what He'll be. Oh, Christian friend, let's live like He's coming today, because He may, and one day, surely He will. The workings of grace, thank God for them. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.